Well, good afternoon. We're going to be looking back again at the book of James today. When we start out, I want to tell you a story. This past March, Abby and I had the opportunity to host her family coming down to Charleston, and we all got to spend some time together. It was a really fun time. All of her immediate family got to come. She's got three siblings, an older sister, a brother, and then a sister. And then mom and dad got to come. And the older sister is married. And so her husband got to come. And her two cute little girls got to come. We got to go all over Charleston. There's a really fun pineapple fountain that's downtown. There's a park right where the two rivers connect that's called Battery Park we got to go to. One of my favorite things we got to do is we got to go out to the plantation where Abby and I got engaged, and we got to walk around out there. But the more I started thinking about it, the more I realized everything that I enjoyed doing in Charleston involved walking. And we had two little girls with us, one of which was, what, two? Yeah. And, you know, two's a rough age for long-distance, multiple-mile walks throughout the day. But we lucked out. You see, the little two-year-old niece had a big sister that was four? Five. And five-year-old sister could walk, so two-year-old was going to walk, too. I was shocked. She walked for miles throughout the day and rarely wanted to get picked up because big sister was going to do it. For a two-year-old, that's unusual. It's not that unusual for an older, normal-aged person. Self-reliance, I'm going to do it on my own. You know, I don't need help. I can do it. We don't like asking for help. James has got something to say about that, though. You see, while we like to be self-reliant, while we like to do things on our own, and we perceive sometimes asking for help as being an inconvenience or making ourselves look weak, we serve an all-powerful God. And there are some things you just have to look at and say, okay, God, I need your help with this. Let's look at James 1, verse 5, and see one of those instances. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. The title of my message this afternoon is Free for the Asking. You know, God wants to give wisdom. My first point is, because wisdom is given, you must ask God for wisdom. Now, when we're talking about wisdom, you know, we talk about people being wise. We talk about various things. In Scripture, wisdom isn't just knowledge. It isn't just all the things you know, but it's how to process them in how you're living. Now, there are some things that are just cold cut, black and white. Okay, God says, thou shalt not kill. I don't need any wisdom to know killing someone is wrong. But there are many things in life that wisdom are incredibly important for. My wife and I are in the process of selling a house. We just were given an offer on Thursday, and suddenly we needed wisdom. Do we take the offer or not? You know, there's no place in Proverbs, there's no place in any of Scripture that says, take the offer if it's this much. You know, it's just not there. We need wisdom, and you do too. Scripture says wisdom comes from God. So the first thing I want to look at is, because God gives universally, you must ask for wisdom. Look with me at the beginning. It says, if any of you lack wisdom. You know, that's comforting. You know, I do a lot of dumb stuff in life, and it's really easy to look and say, okay, God will give wisdom to so-and-so, but he won't give wisdom to me. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That means that every one of us can ask for wisdom from God. Now, context, remember we talked last week about trials. He goes straight from trials into this, talking about wisdom. And so we have to keep the context in mind. We are looking at how do you respond to trials? You need wisdom. How do you respond to hard times? You need wisdom. You study God's word, you get that knowledge, and you still need help to know how do you use that for what you're going into. All of us, when we go through hard times, can ask for wisdom, and it says God gives. God gives wisdom universally. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. If you're a child of God, you can ask for wisdom. Second thing is, because God gives universally, you should ask for wisdom. You know, there are a lot of things that are really hard when you make the wrong decision, and it would have been a lot easier if you'd have known what to do right the first time. Moving down here, I have had a lot of those experiences already, knowing if I'd have just known how this worked before, it'd have made it a lot easier. Give you an example. Up in Charleston, South Carolina, when you get internet, you pay for the internet, and then you pay a rental fee for the modem. I didn't want to pay the rental fee, so I bought my own modem. It's that little box that plugs in cable on one side, Ethernet on the other, and magic. It just works. Well, I came down here, told him I want to use my own box, and he kind of looked at me and said, okay. And we worked on that thing for 30 minutes, and he finally said, I don't think this is going to work. Do you want to use my box? It's free. Had I have asked the right question to begin with, it'd have been a lot easier. But I didn't ask the right questions. We should ask for wisdom from God. You know, God has all the answers. We don't know how everything goes together. We should be spending time in His Word, because that's the first step with getting knowledge. But even once we have the knowledge, you still have to put it together to know how to respond to things in life. So we're looking at, because wisdom is given, you must ask God for wisdom. That's my first point. Second thing I'd like to point out with that point is, because God gives liberally, you must ask God for wisdom. Look with me again at the verse. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. It goes without saying, we recognize men isn't saying that he only gives it to guys when they ask. No, he gives it to everyone that asks, and he gives it liberally. The idea is that he gives generously and sincerely. He is motivated solely by his desire to bless. You can ask God for wisdom. God will give you what you need. Now, that's not saying that you're going to be as wise as Solomon. Notice it says, if any of you lack wisdom. He's not saying that he's going to give you this huge thing that you're like, how am I going to use this ever? God's going to give you, if you ask, where you're lacking. Side note here, I would propose that sometimes we take spirituality to an illogical conclusion. You know, we talked about what wisdom is. Wisdom is those things that aren't directly laid out in Scripture that you still need wisdom how to handle. Sometimes I think we pray about things that we know the answer for. You know, it's not that we're rushing ahead and being reckless, but some things are laid out in Scripture. Some things you know what the right decision are, and we delay because we're praying. The point is, if you're lacking wisdom, pray and ask God. If God's already told you what to do and you're confident God has told you, you need to do it instead of delaying and saying, well, I'll take a couple days to pray about it. I've thought that a couple times about my yard, and you know what? That's a bad decision. The grass just keeps growing. I should have mowed it. God will give you what you need. He may not give you what you want. You know, my thought It goes back almost to when I was a child. My mother fed me. I never was hungry. I really liked Oreos, milk. That's good stuff right there. I asked for them frequently. I didn't always get what I asked for. I did get fed liberally. And I think that's a good comparison. When we're asking God for wisdom, God will give us what we need. It just isn't always ice cream and Oreos. God gives liberally. God also gives freely. Look at the last part of the verse. It says, and upbraideth not. It's not that you have to wait till the last thing to ask God for wisdom. He wants to give it. He's not going to scold you when you come to him and say, Lord, I need help. How do I do this? He doesn't upbraid. Now, coming back to the end of the verse, it says, and it shall be given unto him. So we've talked about, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I think it's important to keep that whole thing together, and remember, we're talking about wisdom. It's not that you can ask for anything and God will just, you know, dump really expensive cars out of the sky. You know, James 4:3, it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. God expects for us to be asking for the right things. Knowing what to ask for is really important. You know, as I said, I really should have known what to ask the man when he was installing my internet. It would have saved a lot of time. Knowing what to ask for is really important. I just got to share this with you. Abby and I like going on dates. You know, it's just the two of us. We don't have any kids yet. And since Abby was working full time when we were back in Charleston, we would typically do dates in the evening. I've got a Starbucks app that'll occasionally give me a good deal on stuff, and we go down and we split a coffee. Maybe once a month, once every other month, something like that. Just enough to where typically when we go, the menu has changed. I don't know if you like menu changes. I walk in, and I like to know what's on the menu. I like to know what I'm going to get. I don't like to have 100 different options and have to figure out what am I going to do. And we walked in, and the menu had changed. It took us about 5 minutes of pointing and looking and deciding, because we split something, because that's romantic and cheaper. And so we're both trying to figure out, okay, what does the other person want? And you play that game of, well, you'd like that one, right? No, you'd like that one. And anyway, so we finally decided, we walked up, but it's evening, okay? I told you this already. We walk up and I say, okay, I would like, and I think it was a maple pecan frozen latte. It was spectacular. It's about 8 o'clock at night, and I take that first sip and can immediately feel the caffeine start coursing through my head. And I was reminded one more time, it is really important what you ask for. The guy would have given me decaf if I'd have asked for it. I didn't ask for it. I think sometimes when we pray, and we've already talked about, God doesn't give bad gifts. God just doesn't give sometimes when we ask for the wrong thing. There are a lot of trials in life that we can ask for help the right way or the wrong way. I'll use myself as an example with this house I'm trying to sell. God, sell my house accurately represents the trouble I'm going through, but isn't asking for the right thing. You see, the big picture is God's glory. Health issues are the same way. God, heal me. My leg hurts. But are we praying for God's glory? Are we asking for the right thing? You know, as I was thinking through, even preparing for this message, how is the right way to pray for this house? Houses are distracting. You know, I would love to not have that distraction up there so that I can get more into the ministry down here. It's like just constantly at the back of my mind, what's going to come up? Is the inspector going to do something? Is it going to appraise for what it should? All these different things. God, let my house sell so that I can be more focused on the ministry you've called me to do. Do you see how that game works? It's not a game, but understanding how prayer is asking for the right thing. Lord, help my leg to heal so that I can go out on visitation. You know, it's focused on how can I bring glory to God. So we've looked at God gives wisdom. Because God gives wisdom, you must ask God. Next thing we're going to look at, though, is in the next three verses, 6-8. Because wisdom is given, you must confidently ask for wisdom. James turns from the manner in which God gives to the manner in which we are to ask. Let me read those three verses. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Because faith is expected, you must confidently ask for wisdom. We've talked about faith. We talked about what faith is. We understand that you're saved when you place faith in Jesus Christ. And faith isn't an action, but faith produces action. And the way that we know our faith is growing in Jesus Christ is when we're growing in our actions more like him. When it says, let him ask in faith, God's saying that faith is expected. That also is going to impact what we ask for. If we're asking in faith, God, please let me win the lottery, and you already know the lottery's a bad decision, it probably isn't going to work the way you're thinking because you're not really asking in faith. That's the wrong type of faith. Because faith is expected, selfish requests are still ignored, like we talked about before. Selfish requests are based on a lack of faith. The big picture is God is all important. I'm not important. God's glory is important. My glory is not important. You know, prayers of God, please let me be noticed for my service, aren't based on God's glory. We need to pray and ask for wisdom in faith. The other part of that, though, is because doubt is unheeded, you must confidently ask for wisdom. God says he will not give wisdom if you are not living by faith. It says, but let him ask in faith. Then he gives this great mental picture of a wave. Now, I didn't realize how good of an illustration this was when I memorized this verse out in Iowa, because I was about 1,000 miles away from the closest wave. But you guys know what we're talking about here. A wave is a really cool thing. I was looking up pictures this morning of waves and people surfing on waves that are 30 feet tall, and they're coming down this thing, and I'm seeing the wave start crashing over on top of them, and it's an amazing thing. Waves are powerful things. But waves don't form themselves. You know, waves are a very passive thing that go wherever the wind pushes them. And I was looking up what forms waves, and you know what the first thing is that forms waves? Wind. Yeah. And it depends on how strong the wind is and how long the wind blows it and all these things. But the waves are just going wherever the wind is pushing them. I read a fascinating article about a wave that hit Japan. and it was in the year 1600 that this wave hit Japan. Totally caught them off guard because they had no idea why it was coming at them, what it was, but it was this colossal wave. It turns out, about 200 years ago, scientists found a ghost forest in Oregon. And what a ghost forest is it's all these cypress trees that are below sea level, and so all the water came in and killed them. There was an earthquake sometime. They knew that it had occurred based on carbon dating and things. They knew that the trees had died in the year 15, between the summer of 1599 and the summer of 1600. But they didn't know what caused the trees to die, what happened. Turns out there was a major earthquake, and the land fell 4 feet when the earthquake happened, and the land stretched back out, going back west, and suddenly the trees were under the ocean level, sea level, and it caused this huge wave. And I was reminded again, every wave is caused by something else. You know, James is saying here, when you don't have faith, you're like a wave. You're just driven by whatever is happening. And there are very sober warnings that he puts in here. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wow. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's like Scripture is saying that there's a spiritual schizophrenia. You know, and that is such an easy concept to just ignore in our postmodern world. Yes, I'm coming to church on Sunday because that's the right thing to do. You know, I know the right words to say on Sunday. But man, Monday comes around and I'm around a totally different group of people. And on Monday, my faith's not so good. It's harder. Tuesday comes, Wednesday. I find it interesting. My hard days kind of come in cycles. While I was in seminary, I knew there were hard days, and it got to where it was so predictable, I put them on my calendar and said, now be prepared. This is going to be a hard day. And I don't know when those days are for you. I know when they are for me. But Scripture says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't be like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. God wants to answer your prayers for wisdom. But the challenge from this passage that I see today is we should be willing to ask for help and we should be willing to live by faith. My challenge to you is be willing to ask for wisdom and be willing to live by faith. Let's close in prayer together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is clear and simple. Lord, I ask that you would help us to know the things that we should do. Help us to know when to ask for wisdom. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.